Now that Sergio Ramos has been vanquished by Sir Eric, what does the new footballing landscape look like? Well, it doesn't seem to have changed all that much. Jose is still around, for now, at least. But will his fate be sealed by his old stomping ground? Or will Moo chew Sarri Siggies and leave the bridge with 3 points? There's a bunch of derbies, Spammers play Spurs, while a South Coast rivalry, that is Cherries versus Saints, has me as excited as the prospect of old holy men eating cherries should get me. This is not very good. And in our continuing series of mascot wars, we'll take a long look at wolves versus bees.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Born Offside, the podcast that runs through lots of stuff, a little bit like a steamroller train running through a herd of baboons. That's not very nice, is it? I don't know. Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how you've seen that.
Which... I was thinking of the Southampton defence. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, was that like some experiment at an early Sporting Lisbon game where they, you know, the crowd is down and they're trying to get people in, and they're like, well, those folks over at the other stadium, they've got that eagle that flies around. What can we do?
let's get some baboons. Pack of baboons. That'll do it.
Just baboons? Now, and a steamroller? All right.
Hang on. We do not test on animals. Sorry. Hang on.
Steamrollers go really slowly, and baboons are fucking fast. Like,
it's very true.
Just run away from it.
Have to be one drunk baboon to get done by a steamroller, I reckon. It's coming. I can't get out the way.
Well, steamroller me, I'm fucking baboon.
Speaking of baboons, let's not forget about Sergio Ramos. Anyway, what a wonderful wonderful week it's been, I think, for all and sundry. It's been one heck of a week, hasn't it? I mean, it's just, obviously, we've covered England and everything, but I think England must be feeling very, very up themselves at the moment, aren't they, really?
It is made all the sweeter by the fact that Germany are all but relegated.
Poor old Germans can't seem to get a win under their belt. Another loss, and they went ahead against France in midweek. But
Do you know how many wins Germany have in 2018?
Hit me.
It's less than Gibraltar. Because Gibraltar, mate, have two.
Hey, Gibraltar flying, Germany dying.
Oh,
you like that? Get that on a t-shirt.
I do. I like it a lot.
Get it on a shirt.
What colour did Gibraltar play in?
I think red, the colour of anger, excitement, and puke when you've drunk too much wine.
Okay.
All right, my t-shirt looks like puke when I drank too much wine. Yeah, it's all right. It's also the colour of excitement and anger. They'll be devastated when they get on the
pitch. And then the Gibraltar away kit.
Yeah, I heard the Gibraltar national anthem earlier this week, because of course there was a lot of talk about the fact that they Armenia mistakenly played the Liechtenstein. They must have gone
the
through the
Liechtenstein
small countries and gone, just pick one, mate, just pick one.
Aren't Liechtenstein the country that used the tune of God Save the Queen but their own words?
All right, I thought you could say Godzilla but use their own words.
You're going with that. I was going with Jamiroquai's we're going deeper underground.
Anyway, JK,
if we have a country, mate, let's make that the national anthem.
Okay, that's good, but of course change the lyrics completely. But
totes.
Congratulations, Germany, on hitting an all-time low. May you stay there for a bit longer. Nobody seems to like Germany these days, or any days. It is made all the much more sweeter for that. And congratulations, obviously, England as well. But today we will be covering the Premier League. It's a preview that we haven't actually done on an occasion, so we will be doing so. The Premier League. It's our bread and butter, isn't it? It's what we live for. It's what we die for. It's what we love, and it's what we grow.
Mate, That sentence, that's just, those sentences are just, one, I do not live for bread and butter. I mean, I really love it, but I wouldn't say I live for it. And I haven't yet died for anything yet. Could yes. happen this weekend. It really could, but I have not yet died for anything. So,
mate, it could happen at the City of London Stadium. Couldn't
it?
Oh,
you're going to start with that, are you?
Where? Well, why not? We can start with that. I think there's a number of games that we can obviously start with. We can start with Chelsea, Manchester United. We can start with Arsenal versus Leicester on Monday as well. There's a couple of matches. There's Wolves versus Watford as well, when you say it quickly, Wolves versus Watford, it's very difficult to say. I challenge you all. But why not? We'll segue straight into the Hammers versus the Spursies. Let's just go for it straight away and get it over and done with and out the way. Because actually, there's something, and I'm, you know me and Tottenham, we don't always see eye to eye. But
you have no love for West Ham either, do you?
I have no love. It's along the zero mark, definitely. How much love do you have for Olives? It's zero. It's the same as West Ham, actually. Thanks for asking.
Really? Tottenham, do you hate Olives? Yeah,
I do, yeah, which is a little bit of a weird one as well.
Because you're like the most Mediterranean, Latin-y kind of person I know.
Mm.
I should imagine that you ate nothing but olives.
But olives, yeah. I've been called an olive before, but...
You do look a little bit like one of those small little black ones.
hang on a second. I wanted to be one of the green ones with the red on the inside, but no, that's all good. It's all good. The person who called me an olive ended up in the hospital and then offered me an olive branch at the end of it. West Ham versus Tottenham. Come on, let's not muck around here. Mate, Tottenham have got the, and this is an amazing statistic and one that I find extremely difficult. And the phrase of flying below the radar, similar to how Arsenal have been doing, has been used this week to describe how Tottenham have been doing, playing a brand of football, or playing football generally in a not very, very nice way, in a not very productive way or whatever, but still having the joint best start to a Premier League season. Can you quite believe that? As a Tottenham fan, can you quite believe that?
Well, what that statistic really tells you is that year after year after year, Tottenham start like shit. And what's happened this year is we've started slightly less shit than we normally do. I wouldn't read too much into it. Like, there's two ways to spin it. We're just 2 points off the league. Two points off the top of the table, yes. And we're missing Dele's been out, we're missing Eriksen, Vertonghen is now out, Lloris has been out, Kane's only just come back from the World Cup. Important players. I think Ben Davies even has had an injury. Dembele's out now. So bearing in mind we've got all of those people in, and that, you know, lack of cohesion and tired players, it's not a bad effort. But at the same time, we've only played Liverpool. We went away to United, but really, that's not much of a game. And
love it.
They're not any good.
They're no good. They're crap.
They're rubbish. They let two into Newcastle.
Well, they lost against West Ham, didn't they, at the City of London Stadium? So is this a marker?
I was reading, mate. Do you know the two teams that West Ham have beaten more often than any other team in the Premier League?
I'm going to put a guess out there as PSV Eindhoven's under 21 women's side. And
how many games in the Premier League have they played? You're just being silly.
I'm just being silly. God damn it. I'm assuming Tottenham is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why you brought it up. And Manchester United?
No.
Okay.
Southampton Brighton. Football Club.
Oh, for God's sake. Why didn't I guess that? Probably because even though they may have beaten Southampton more than any other team, West Ham are not the team that we've lost most against in the Premier League. So that's probably why I don't pay much attention to that one. Yeah.
But it's interesting, is it not, for us, as two fellas that quite often like to see West Ham lose, that where in fact West Ham have had the most success against us. I think West Ham are playing well. They've bounced back fairly nicely. We are flattering to deceive. I think, yeah, they're flying under the radar thing. We're not in too bad a position, bearing in mind the injuries thing is true to an extent. But then if you look at the performance in the two games in the Champions League, where they've lost both of those and were fairly miserable, we've been lucky in a few games. I would normally, going away to West Ham, I mean, certainly in the last 3 years, I would expect to go there and win. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be okay with a draw in this game. I wouldn't be happy, but I'd be okay with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, West Ham are going to, you know, West Ham do like to pick it up against fellow London sides. And I think Tottenham are one of those.
Spurs.
Yes, particularly Spurs. Yes, absolutely. And this, you know, there's always been that rivalry there. And I think it's going to be a rivalry that, you know, will continue to happen. It's you know, I mean, they've also obviously had their problems. But they went on that nice run just recently with Pellegrini until they lost to Burnley, I believe, last week.
Brighton.
You know, prior to that, you know, great wins against Man United, a draw to Chelsea, and scoring 8 past Macclesfield as well in the cup. You know, well done you. I think this game has, you know, it has a must watch stamped all over it, because it's just going to be so entertaining. And and of course Arnautovic, I mean, he must surely hold the key. He's been scoring, you know, for fun recently. And
didn't he score for Austria midweek as well?
Against Northern Ireland. Was it Northern Ireland? I believe. And Vertonghen is now out, I heard, as well. He'll be out for a couple more games,
I think.
Right. Okay. A couple more games. All right. Okay. I thought at least until December, I heard, but maybe not. It's delicately poised, and I could quite easily see it being a scrappy old match. But both teams are playing entertaining football, so hopefully not. Hopefully they wouldn't cancel each other out, and let's hope that we see a good match. I'm confident for Tottenham to go there and surprise us and spring a somewhat not surprising win, but like one that I reckon that they could do. I'm actually going for a 1-0 Tottenham win here.
I think there'll be goals in it. I don't think either team is particularly solid at the back. I mean, West Ham in particular. And if Harry Kane plays like he did against Spain, then we should win. Oh, Sir Harold.
Wondered how long.
Come on. He did turn out to be like he was like poking and prodding like a trequarista, whatever them Italians call it when they play in the number 10.
Number 10 there. He's playing in the number 10 again.
Number 10, Harry Kane, he'd be playing in his slippers.
So you're going for a score draw then? Are you going for a score draw?
Yeah, I'll go for the toe-toe.
Toe-toe, it's so adventurous. Oh my God, I love it. Ugh. Beautiful. Well, with that then, let's head on to the game, which I think is probably the thigh rubber every blooming week. It's the...
It's okay to rub your thighs once a week.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, in fact, maybe it's not okay not to. So, yeah.
Absolutely. If you are not rubbing your thighs in anticipation of something, you are not living a life worth living. However, I want to say at this point that I do not advocate suicide in any way, shape, or form. Oh, God, I've got myself in a hole here.
You really do. You really do. Let me take you off that hole, or out of that hole, sorry, saying that I hope you have genes worth rubbing. Because if you kept rubbing, I don't imagine if you live with the same pair of genes for the rest of your life, then eventually you'd have no gene left on those top sections of your thighs.
Matt, worn right through. You can see me bare naked, pasty white thighs. The whole time.
Mates of fashion. Chelsea versus Manchester United. Mate, what a game. What a game. I can't wait for this game. I really, really can't. First of all, let's get this one out of the way. It's not been confirmed as yet as to whether or not Mourinho is going to have a ban for this match or not. He's been given till, I believe, Friday afternoon to respond to his to the accusations brought upon him of saying,
"Fuck you, you son of a bitches."
You've got to feel for Jose, like, because what he's done is he's taken on the world, because I think it's well known that the entire world hates Jose Mourinho, and they always have. So the moment he left the womb, pretty much everything and everyone around him hated him. And the whole world is against him and everything he does. And he just has a little moment whereby he lets out some light swear words, but he does it in a way, he does it in such a format that there's no audio of it. So like you can't hear it. And he does it in a foreign language. It kind of goes with a double safety routine. I'll do it on a camera with no microphone, and I'll do it in Portuguese. Unbeknownst to him, a deaf Portuguese man was watching the TV and lip-read him.
He did. He lip-read him.
Who thunk it that they have deaf people in Portugal who enjoy watching the Premier League, mate? Oh, there must be like two of them.
Mate, and he got reported. Bah.
Oh, no one likes the grass. No one likes the grass.
Nobody does. Terrible. you do have to feel for him a little bit. He must feel sometimes like the world is against him, not for the first time though. So you almost reckon, you know, with experience, these things get easier and better and you can deal with them. So I reckon he's actually probably fine. But I do think he'll regret it if he doesn't make this match, because this match is one where, especially after the big win of last week against Newcastle, you would suspect that he really wants to be in the dugout for this one, doesn't he, really?
Well, yeah, I wonder how Chelsea fans feel about Jose now, because, well, he has won 3 Premier League titles across 2 seasons. They probably love him, don't they?
I think they do. I think they do. I think they still love him. I think they still would have him back, although not right now, because they've got this magnificent cigarette butt-chewing man who's come in from the cold.
From Napoli.
From Napoli, la bella napolitana. And he is an extremely diligent and tactically aware manager. And it's going to be fascinating, because you can't say he's part of the old guard, even though he's 59 years old, because he's new to the Premier League.
Is
in fact,
he only
new-
59? I look at him chewing cigarette butts in a t-shirt 4 sizes too big for him, and I think 78,
is going on, mate. He's Wenger's age. Oh my god, we'll come on to Arsene Wenger a little bit later, maybe. I think yes, it's just incredible, isn't it? It's just this manager has really come in and has transformed Chelsea this season. I don't think, I certainly didn't. In fact, I think we mentioned it probably earlier on. There's surely no way that Mauricio Sarri is going to be able to do what he has been able to do. And there's no shortage of controversy going on at Chelsea as well, with Hazard coming out earlier in the week saying that he wants to go to Real Madrid, and with players sort of on the fringes and not being able to get in, like Fabregas, for example, and what he's done to Loftus-Cheek. You know, there's stuff going on at that club, but it seems nothing compared to what's going on at Manchester United.
Hey, can we talk for a moment about that Hazard interview? Because yet again, on an international break, a player has gone away.
Yes.
And then is given an interview in their home language, in their mother tongue. Yep. And it's caused a bunch of controversy. So Hazard's done it this time. Pogba's done it a couple of times. I think Alexis Sanchez did it once. Press officers of the Premier League, if you are listening to this podcast, tell them before they go not to talk to anybody when they get home.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's incredible. You mentioned, in fact, you called it beforehand.
It's a bizarre thing. It's just it like, is. I'm at home. No one in England can possibly speak French. or watch French TV. I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want. Yes, I would like to go to Real Madrid. Yeah, I'd work with Jose Mourinho again. As if I would.
What was that about? That was just so... Oh, I love it. I love it. And it's another classic case where, you know, the press takes it the way that they want to and try to show the world that this is what it is. How much tongue-in-cheek must he have had, I think, for that one? It's something that's... You wonder, and actually I'm keen to hear how the Chelsea supporters are going to react to Hazard on his first touch. We'll know straight away on his first touch. As soon as he gets the ball for the first time, what kind of reception is he going to get for what he said? It's the first time he's come out and said this.
I think they'll stand by him. He's their best player. He's been very good for them. And that Chelsea crowd, you know, they stuck by John Terry when he was sleeping with the left-back's wife. I think this is not so bad.
Hang on, but this—that was Mr. Chelsea, wasn't it? Really, you can't.
They probably
applauded him when he came on. Actually,
they booed well Bridge. They booed Bridge.
Get another wife. Yeah. Bridge is on the bench.
Control your missus. Boo.
He effectively destroyed his career, didn't he? Wayne Bridge didn't get
Wayne Bridge
anymore.
Didn't destroy his career, mate. Wayne Bridge was guilty of only going to Manchester City and leaving his beloved partner alone with John Terry. I mean, you can't blame Bridge for what happened.
No, I'm blaming Terry.
Oh, sorry.
Terry's destroyed his life. He's destroyed his life. So, and then he got those horrible injuries and then poor old Wayne Bridge, you know. You know, like Mourinho said on this very show a couple of podcasts ago, you know, there's similarities there in all of that. So, yes. Mate,
We haven't done any kind of football analysis.
We haven't, absolutely not. Mate, just let's flick away from Chelsea and let's just go on to Manchester United very quickly. Mourinho, is this Mourinho won that last match? It, you know, we've got mixed signals coming out of Old Trafford. Is this game a must win for Mourinho? And if he wins this game, does that pressure kind of sort of go away completely or is it just no. prolonging a death that is already on the cards? What's going on?
No, I mean, for the controversy about Jose being fired or not being fired to go away, he's going to have to pretty much win the next 10 or 15 in a row, realistically. Like, I think he could probably get away with losing this one as long as they have a half decent performance. But even then, I don't think he can get away with winning it 1-0 by parking the bus. I don't think that's going to get him out of trouble, because I think the core Manchester United fans are probably okay with it. But beyond that, the kind of footballing world, and Manchester United is a brand, I hate that expression, but Manchester United is a brand that belongs to more than just Manchester United fans, because it's been a kind of pillar and a backbone of Premier League success, you know, Manchester United. The fact that you can go pretty much anywhere in the world and see a kid with a Manchester United shirt on is, you know, they're a really important part. It's like the New York Yankees of baseball. I don't even know who plays for the New York Yankees, but I know that they're the, you know, the biggest team in baseball, and I couldn't even tell you if they're still playing in the playoff or whatever's going on. It's like the Dallas Cowboys for American football or the Chicago Bulls for basketball. They're probably not any good anymore, the Chicago. I have no idea. And I don't want to know. No one tell me.
But this, of course, is testament to everything that that Ferguson built up. He's built that legacy there himself, hasn't he? And,
yes.
You know, you're totally right. Wherever you go around the world, you see a Manchester United shirt. And that's it. It's just
They have to win, and they have to win with some kind of style, really. It's especially with the likes of Pep and Jurgen and Mauricio around, who seem to have put style a little bit above winning, which is wonderful. I wish every manager would put entertainment above winning. That would be fantastic. But Jose doesn't. Jose puts winning first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it's not going to go away until he either wins a lot of games or starts having some fun with winning them.
Okay.
And I just, honestly, for this game, mate, I don't think he's got players good enough. I think Chelsea have better players who are coached better, playing with a higher degree of confidence.
No, certainly for a win, and to get a 1-0 win, you would imagine they'd have to park that bus, right? And it's just, like you said, it's not necessarily going to help.
The bus driver, mate, doesn't want to park the bus anymore.
He's had enough.
He's had enough of parking the damn bus. He's like, I shouldn't be involved in your football games, Jose. I should be, having a fag out the back while you go play. Don't be asking me to drive the bus in front of no goal.
Thanks, Mauricio's brother. You mentioned 15 games. All right, you mentioned 50 games, and we've got a run up here coming. They've got Chelsea away. They've got Juventus away. I've got the fixtures up here. They've got Everton at home. You'd imagine that they must win that. They've got Bournemouth away, which they could win. They've got Juventus away. Then they've got Manchester City at the beginning of November, on the 11th of November, away. I think
he can't afford to lose any of those. Really.
Right. Yeah. Certainly not.
Maybe
the
Juventus away, he might get away with losing. But
right. Yeah. Yeah. Just before the Man City game. But the Man City game, you would imagine he needs to get something out of that. I reckon those are the fixtures, because then after that he comes into a slightly better one run with Crystal Palace and Young Boys.
Young Boys.
Who will be there? And then of course he's got a guaranteed 3 points against Southampton at the beginning of December. So if he can just make it till December, I reckon he'll be like, "Whew, Southampton now. Thank God for that." And we all know what's going to happen there. Yeah, it's done. But it's just so worrying for Manchester United, and again I've said it on so many occasions, with the Portuguese contingency side of things and everything, I feel for him and I want him to stay, but I really want him to become a little bit better, so whether he will or not, I'm not sure, but I think on the pitch, Matic is not available, so he won't be playing in the center, so they'll be bringing Fredge in to cover for him. But I don't think Chelsea have any injury issues or worries really to talk about. So I think Chelsea are going to be very strong. Mate, let's go for a prediction on this one. Let's do it.
I think Chelsea will win 2-0, and I think Hazard will score both of them.
Mate, I have no idea. I feel for Man United. I'm with you though. I don't think that they'll win. I think Man United will get one. I'll give it a 2-1 win. And I believe Hazard will be on the score sheet, but not just that once. Olivier Giroud to break his duck. No, please, no.
I think there is more chance of Olivier Giroud breaking a duck. Like
literally
a duck that's come out of the Thames, wandered on, Drew's not looking where he's going and he stepped on it and broken said duck. That's more likely than him scoring a goal.
Or would he break the duck as in break its heart? Break its neck. No. That's ruthless. I got big feet. Duck got in my way. Couldn't do anything about it. Doughy.
Giroud, who is starring in Oliver Twist there.
Breaking duds by stepping on their necks. All right. Okay. Let's head off for a little bit of a breather. We'll have a quick short break, and then we'll come back and we will preview the rest of the Premier League's action.
They fly eagles, so let's get baboons. But they're drunk. Oh, what a day and what a week. Even playing in my slippers, I'll show them. We love a thigh rubber. Maybe I'll get that baboon to rub my thigh. Well, it's an idea. What do you think, Emma?
Watching a baboon rub your thigh would make all my voice synthesizing dreams come true, Harry.
Great. Let's do this.
Woo! Welcome back to part two of the Born Offside podcast. We will be, let's preview the rest of the matches coming up this weekend. And mate, we've got some tasty ones coming up. Ooh, I almost let out a little bit of a sort of an effeminate cry there because of the tastiness of some of these games. Now, I think for non-Premier League lovers or non-football lovers, they probably wouldn't understand why we would get built up about we can take a whole pick of a whole bunch of them, but I'm gonna go for Cardiff versus Fulham, mate. Cardiff versus Fulham is a tasty match. It's absolutely, yeah, tasty. What does it taste like? If we say tasty, what does it taste like,
mate? It tastes whatever a clear good versus evil narrative tastes like. Because you've got two teams who are struggling. Mm-hmm. Cardiff perhaps slightly overachieving in the fact that they have, what, two points. That's two more than I thought they would have. And
well done, Cardiff.
Fulham, who I think we can all agree are kind of underachieving because they don't have many. Do they have 4 or 5 points?
Something like that, yes. Yeah, yeah. They've not been, yeah, I think.
One win so far, right?
Everybody at the beginning of the season was expecting them to be much higher up than they are. They're more along the lines of where Wolves are as well. So it's, but it's been disappointing, hasn't it? It's been disappointing.
They have been, but they play attacking football. They have Mitrovic and Sessegnon and Seri, and they have no defence of any what shape, kind of form or anything. Which is, let's face it, no one wants to see people defend.
No, absolutely not. No, what's the fun in that? None.
What so bloody ever? Unless it's John Terry trying to stop the ball with his face. That is
fun. That's always fun. You know, yeah, Chelsea or not, that's always fun. You're right. Mate, it is, it's a little bit of a crazy one because, I mean, you know, Cardiff have had all these issues with Harry Arter and with Rawls. Rawls won't play, surprisingly enough. They actually,
he was turned down his
or upheld. His appeal was
confused now, mate. What is the rule? Do you have to endanger the guy's life or not?
I think you do, but I just reckon the memo didn't get through in time, so we're still okay. Because you do need to endanger someone's life. Now, I wonder whether or not Fulham will take that and think, well, let's go and endanger some of their lives then. Let's see what happens.
I tell you what, if you're Jean-Michel Seri in the middle of that Fulham midfield, you are scared. Yeah. you must be like, which one of them is coming for me? I know one of them is.
Mate, could it be a tactic that a gulp, we say gulp genu in Portuguese, which is a
genuine gulp?
Genuine gulp, like that was genuine, mate. That was genuine. Not quite like that, but a genius's move, a genius's move to suddenly say this and instill the fear of God into the opposition players and into the opposition dogs players as well. So I would imagine we've got Djukanovic versus Warnock on the sidelines. Mate, it's at Cardiff, you know. Cardiff, really, I think Cardiff will win. I really do. I think they're going to do it because they're due it. And I think Fulham, you know, I don't know. I can see a Cardiff win here because they need to do something, mate. If Cardiff lose this game, it's pretty much over. I mean, we knew it was over at the beginning anyway. Everybody called it. Everybody said it. Oh, I'd like to prove it. Right, I'd like to prove everyone wrong, said Neil Warnock. But I can't see anything but I can see a lot of different things. But I reckon Cardiff, I'm going to say Cardiff to win this tight, scrappy 1-0. If they don't, they're just all over the shop, mate.
I can't believe you said that. Because if you want, if you expect Cardiff to win, you're basically saying that you think that there's no justice in the world and you think that evil will win every time. And it just says to me, mate, I don't know, because I don't think we've ever been to the cinema together, but I should imagine, like, at Christmas when everyone settles down to watch Die Hard, you're thinking, wouldn't it be nice if Alan Rickman pushes Bruce Willis out the room?
Just this once. At the
and
top
when
of
you're
the
watching The Lion King, you're going, it'd be nice if Scar killed the dad and the son.
One foul swoop. Man, there's just something in there, though, isn't there? There's something in both of those little comments that you've just put in there. And I reckon there's, I don't know, there's some people out there who feel it. I don't feel as myself as to be an overly negative or horrible person. But
No, I'm not saying you're horrible or negative. I'm saying you're evil.
Okay. No, hang on. I'm not evil. I just hold his hand.
You know, okay. I'm just,
yeah, yeah. Because evil, she's a gorgeous bitch. You know. Well,
hang on.
Hot as hell.
In the form of Neil Warnock.
Oh, God. Okay, maybe not. Woof. Nah. Not working. Sorry. Sorry, Neil. I keep calling you. I was about to call it Stephen again. What the hell is wrong with me? You? I don't know. Mate, what's your call then? You're going for a Fulham win?
Yeah, I'm going for a glorious 3-1 Fulham win.
Bosh. Bang. Dagger-lastic. Beautiful. All right. It's just such a wonderful match, I think. And I think it's... Yeah, I wish there were more 3 o'clocks so that we could watch a couple. Obviously, the match that I'm going to be watching is my very own Southampton traveling the few miles down the road to Bournemouth to the Vitality
South Coast
Stadium.
Derby.
It is a South Coast. You know, it's funny because it rarely got called a South Coast Derby, even up until a couple of seasons ago, because the South Coast Derby was always Southampton versus Portsmouth. That was always the.
South Coast is pretty long. So, South Coast. Let's say Plymouth were to play Dover.
Is that still a
South Coast derby? Because those two cities are a long way away from each other.
Very true, yeah. And so, like, if Bournemouth play against Portsmouth even, you know, you're bunny
it's
hopping over Southampton.
It's like calling Barcelona versus Monaco the Mediterranean derby.
Well, hey, they call Barcelona versus Real Madrid the derby, and they're miles away from each other, right? So
yeah, that's more different. To do with kind of, you know, national politics and whatever. I think just because two cities are on the same coastline, I'm not sure it really makes for a derby, does it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's a discussion that we can have in future tense. What does define a derby? Is it proximity? Is it politics? Interesting. Yeah, hatred for each other. So what? Samson versus Tottenham would be a derby. I don't know. I don't think
only
it works
for you.
And probably not even for loads of other Southampton supporters either. They're probably looking at me going, mate, let it go. Like, just let it go, all right? Fucking hell. Glenn Hoddle never made it anyway, you know?
He really didn't.
It was just the he's one of our own, so he should be with us comments. All right. It was just fuck off with that.
Mate, if Matt Letizia ever manages Tottenham, you can have him. Really?
I don't think Matt Letizia can't even manage his own diary. So, like, I don't think golf. Oh, what's that? It's a small car. All right. Thanks. Next. Twitter. Mate, Twitter fiend. That's what he is. No, look, I love Matt Letizia, obviously, because he's an absolute god, le god for us, for everything he's done. But he does seem to go on a little bit correcting people's grammar for people who have a go at him, and that's all he does. This is another tasty one. Bournemouth versus Southampton. This is the match that I'll be watching all the way through here. Mate, do you give Southampton even a glimmer of a chance to get anything from the Vitality Stadium this weekend?
I do, but just because Bournemouth are one of those teams who are good, then bad, then good, then bad, and they've been good recently, so they should be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, I think you've got a chance of going there and getting something. It's a fine line in the Premier League. You're shitter than they are.
If they
play well, then you'll probably lose. But there's a chance they might not.
Mate, they're flying. They're absolutely flying. It's going to be... It's going to be near on impossible to get anything out of this game, I think, and it's going to be.
I think you've got. It's Bournemouth, mate. It's not Man City. Like, you've got a chance.
All right. Okay. I'm still going for a loss here, and I'm going for a pretty heavy one as well. 3-0, I reckon it'll be. I'm with you a little bit. Southampton. It's the kind of game that Southampton could get into, and they haven't necessarily been playing horrific football, but it's just not. I just can't see it. Call it instinct, guttural instinct. We're still going down as long as Mark Hughes, that evil man, is still there. So, all right.
Mate,
come on then. What do you give us?
Mate, I don't think it'll be 3.
All right. Okay. You don't 4-0. Think so? Fuck you. All right. Let's move on. Mate, let's move on. Wolverhampton versus Wolves. The one that you can't say three times quickly.
Wolverhampton versus Wolves. You're right, I can't.
That was pretty good, though. It wasn't a bad attempt. Challenge you listeners to do likewise.
Also, we've been saying Wolverhampton versus Wolves, whereas Wolverhampton and Wolves are the same team.
Oh, shit, we fucked up. Wolverhampton's versus Watford. Much harder. Try that one. Go.
Wolverhampton versus Watford. Wolverhampton versus Watford. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Watford.
Wibbly wobbly wobbly woo. That's the one
Watford wibbly wobblies.
The wibbly wobblies versus the Watford. Hang on. Let's just analyse the game, shall we?
Wolves versus bees.
Mate, it's just Wolves versus bees. Someone's gonna get stung.
Oh, Willie Bolly versus Troy Deeney.
He's going to go for it, Troy Deeney. I'm going to have you. Bolly's going to turn around and go, Willie Bolly! In his face.
Willie Bolly.
Mate, did you see Neves pass for Portugal's goal against, not Scotland, Poland? Did you see it? Did you see it? What a pass, mate. Get on the YouTubes.
Is it as good as Jordan Pickford's little layup into midfield for Harry Kane to turn and spread it out to Marcus Rashford before playing it in the middle for Raheem Sterling to knock it in the back of the net? Is it as good as that pass?
Better.
Sharp.
Mate, it is an absolute gem. If Wolves can continue on their amazing run. Now, Watford all started really well, didn't they? They had a fantastic run, four games, four wins, and then they came up against Arsenal, yeah.
And then they dominated the game, and Arsenal somehow won it.
That's right. And then things just seemed to derail a little bit for Watford. And of course, they had that horrific score against Bournemouth, where they got smashed 4-0 at home, admittedly a man down for most of the match. Really, Wolves, with the way they're playing, probably got a little bit too much for Watford, haven't they? Or do Watford have the smash factor where they can go in and they just smash everyone to one side and win it?
I think Watford have had their decent start to the season. I expect Wolves to win this. I think Wolves are a properly rounded team with balance and good players who work for each other. And in Neves, they have, I think, a Champions League quality player. I think he could play in, certainly in the squad of most teams in the top six. And I think he'd probably get into Tottenham's first team. I think he'd get into Arsenal's first team. I think he'd, people, while I go through the top six.
Exactly. He's going to get all of them.
Who else is in the top six? Chelsea and City, probably not, neither Liverpool. He'd get in United's team.
Oh, yeah. Well, are we considering United still a top six team?
Yeah, the sixth. They're the sixth of the top six, I'd say.
No, they're not. They're going to be out of it for sure. It's going to go down to a top five, I reckon, now. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think that. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens with Mourinho. I hope they do make it in the sixth, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
I quite like your utopia of them finishing in, I don't know, 14th. I'd love that.
Mid-table mediocrity.
So nice.
And Moutinho, mates, one of the things that I've loved watching about Moutinho finally in the Premier League after all these many, many years, is how he keeps the ball, how hard it is for people to take the ball off him. He seems to turn, it's not always pretty, it's not always beautiful. He turns away from trouble a lot and then passes the simple ball off, or if you give him space or room and time, he'll find a nice pass forward. He's a real full midfielder, isn't he? He's got the whole thing. It's not box to box, but it's
he's
certainly
a bit slow.
He is a bit slow. But he's in possession. He's just a dream.
Yeah, very very good passer of the ball for
fantastic
sure.
Fantastic stuff. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going for a 2-0 Wolves win. You're going for a Wolves win as well. What's your score? What's your prediction?
I'm going to go 1-0 because I think Wolves have a little difficulty putting in the back of the net, and Watford have a decent defence, actually. So I'm going 1-0.
All right. Beautiful. All right. We'll wrap up Saturday's games very quickly because they're a little bit boring. Manchester City versus Burnley. What are we saying about that?
7-0 Manchester City.
7-0. Beautiful. I love when you're coming. Poor old Burnley. Mate, I reckon Burnley will do a bit better. 4-0. They'll lose. There you go.
Every time I predicted a City game this year, I think the smallest number I've given them is 5.
They haven't always delivered, but they've certainly steamrolled.
Yeah, here we almost
go with
always.
Steamrolling again. Ugh.
Burnley, you are the baboons of the week.
And the other one is Newcastle versus Brighton. What are we doing here?
It's a big day for Chris Hughton, and that's about it. I don't think anyone else cares.
Mate, Newcastle really need to be winning this one, don't they? Because it's been a while, and they've second from bottom at the moment on 2 points. Mate, they're even with Cardiff at the moment.
Oh,
they
dear.
Really... Yeah, they've yet to find their first win.
It would suit you if Newcastle lost and Cardiff won. You'd be happy, wouldn't you? In your evil towers.
Let the evil continue. Now, mate, I've got to, there's a small place in my heart, very small, admittedly, for Benitez. I like him. It's probably to do with his size. It's similar to mine. So I'm going for a Newcastle, finally a Newcastle 2-1 win. That's what I'm going for. Finally.
Who's going to score 2 goals for Newcastle?
Mate, Mitro. Oh, no, he's gone.
No. Try again.
Fuck. One of them. One of those beautiful players in there. Mate, they've been struggling, haven't they? They've struggled for goals. They've struggled for, fluidity. They're good at putting things aside. Ah, I know. Mutu. Mutu to get 2.
Oh, the little Japanese ninja fella.
Little Japanese, yes. Mutu to get 2.
Him to get 1 and own goals to be the other. I think that's your best bet.
All right then, okay, fair enough.
Newcastle Brighton 1-1, mate.
Oh, okay. Oh, is that the first draw we've gone for? Or no, you predicted a 2-2 draw as well for the West Ham match as well. So West Ham Tottenham. All righty. Should we just wrap up quickly the rest of the Premier League, or should we have a quick break? I think we have a very quick break, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the late game on Saturday, Sunday's match, and Monday's game.
I don't mind a good cherry. I think I popped my cherry in Bournemouth. Maybe I popped someone else's cherry. How does the expression go? Do Bournemouth go around England popping other people's cherries like kids' balloons? Because that's just no fun for anyone. Apart from cherry-popping Bournemouth fans. Southampton are going to Bournemouth this weekend to pop all the cherries they can find, and then take them back to St. Mary's, like the Roman times. Eat that cherry, Eddie.
Hey, welcome back to part 3.
I didn't go anywhere, but thank you.
I thought you had. I thought this was what the break was for, wasn't it?
Mate, I'm going to take the listeners behind the curtain. When Jason and I have a break, we literally just stop recording and then start recording again. I don't go anywhere. We don't get a biscuit. I will sometimes take a glass of water that I've pre-prepared, but we don't actually really take a break, do we? I mean, not really. Do you?
Break of air? No, we don't, because we talk all the way through it as well, don't we?
More or less.
Talk about our mums or something. I don't know.
The break is purely for your ears, listener.
Huddersfield Town versus Liverpool is the late game on Saturday. Mate, it's just, this one is not one. Now, this one, I'll tell you right now, it starts at
8-0 Liverpool.
It starts at 3:30 in the morning here in Australia's. I don't think you could pay me enough at all to stay up and watch this match. It would be a really, really tough one for me to be able to do so. And I would definitely be falling asleep. Huddersfield are in big, big trouble. They're down there. They're not going to be able to stop the steamrolling train, although they'll be without Mane, who's having surgery on his hand. Now, not entirely sure why he's having surgery on his hand. Maybe he's been
why it would even bloody matter? You don't play football with your hand. Get out of here, son.
Did Gary Lineker stop playing in 86?
Did Jamie fucking Vardy...
The rat.
Did he not wear something on his hand that whole Premier League season? Wasn't that
absolutely. But, mate, this is Mane. And Mane eats grass.
He does.
Do you know what other animals eat grass?
Mate, don't you dare say it.
Potheads. All right. There we go. Huddersfield Town, mate, it's nothing but a Liverpool win, isn't it, here? But I'm just going to go for a 2-0. Very realistic. You are going for an 8-0. I love it. I love it to death. Stephen Gerrard to come out of retirement.
And Sané to... Sané.
Mane.
No, Mane won't score because he's not playing. And Salah won't score because he's rubbish.
Right. Yep, fair enough. So all goals will come from...
Bobby Firmino will get a hat-trick. Own goal, that's one. Alexander Arnold with a free kick, that's five. Van Dijk header, that's six.
Henderson pile driver.
Yeah, a Henderson pile driver and a James Milner penalty. There you go.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well called. I forgot what I was going to say then. something about Liverpool. But anyway, it's all good. I think that absolutely, it's going to be a Liverpool. Klopp is going to have his fun. All right, Sunday's match pitches the ever entertaining, not Everton, versus the extremely also entertaining and managed by a manager who's still managing.
Still alive. Come on, Roy.
Come on, Roy. Can make
Live
it to the
end. The season.
I reckon there's a light at the end of the tunnel, Roy. You keep going for that light.
Don't, Roy. Rage against the light. Turn away from the light.
No, the light means life. Let him go,
mate,
Roy.
You've got that
the
analogy
light.
Wrong. Like, mate. The light at the end of the tunnel is death, mate.
No.
That's why everyone knows
us. No, not at all. In this one, it's, God, I made it to the end of the season. Well done. You live. Go on, Roy. Go to the light.
Don't, mate. You've got the whole death analogy completely the wrong way around. Roy, rage against the light.
All right, fair enough. Go on, then. Rage against the light, Roy. Rage against the light. I almost couldn't. Boy, way to get the light, boy. Everton, Richarlison's on fire. Bloody Theo Walcott continues to play chess. And I think it's going to be a bit of I think Everton are going to come away with this one. We can't see anything but an Everton win, can we?
Well, I could see a draw.
Are you going for another draw?
Is Wilf playing?
Yeah, the Wilf's just playing.
All right, 1-1.
Blimmin' heck, I like it. All right. Good stuff. That almost makes it sound like it's going to be an entertaining match, but I'm still not staying up.
Nice. You go for boring 1-1.
Yeah, I guess so. All righty. And we will conclude with Monday's game. Mate, I'm actually excited about this game. I know that you think that whatever's, but like, mate, it's the Rats coming up against the likes of, I was going to say Pierre Mertesacker, but he's not. He's coaching there now, isn't he? So, and I was going to say Koscielny, but no, he's not there either. So, mate, it's the Rat. It's the Rat. We always like seeing the Rat. Mate, what a lovely goal he scored a couple of weeks back when he chipped the keeper. Can he do it again against Petr Cech?
He has a really good record against the big teams, doesn't he, Jamie Vardy?
Yes, no, that's right. He does. And sorry, it's not Petr Cech, obviously, because he's still out injured, isn't he? It's Bert Leno. Yes.
Son of Jay Leno, host of American TV.
That's what I thought. Yep.
Right. Must be. Same surname. And so I think Leicester can do it. There's a statistic going around that they've never won at the Empty Crates, I believe. Ooh. Like ever. Even when they won the Premier League that year, they lost, didn't they, to a last minute Danny Welbeck header. I remember being strangely torn when that goal went in. But getting back to this match, I think our valiant boys, Ben Chilwell, Slabhead and the Rat are going to finally break that duck. And I don't mean a literal duck. I mean the never winning an Arsenal duck and going to take Emery down.
Come on, Leicester. After 9 games on the trot for Arsenal, is it time that their bubble got burst?
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's a look. I'm Leicester. I mean, yeah, I think I hope that they do so as well. But I think Arsenal are just going to be a little bit too strong for them. But you're going to go for the Leicester man. You're going to go for the Ratskis.
I'm going for a 3-1 win. Lacazette, yep. The Gazette, as I like to call him, will because that's what Lacazette means, right? It's French for the Gazette. No?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I guess it's good. La Gazette. Okay, but it's Cazette, isn't it? Oh, I don't know.
It's like the tape.
Like cassette. Passe-moi la cassette. Tape. No, la Cazette. Oh, I'm sorry.
What, la Cazette? No, la Cazette. Alexandre la Cazette.
Alexandre la Cazette. Give it to me.
That's how he was named.
Alex, that's how Claude Puel is going to go to him halfway through the game. Like I said, leave it to me. Well, like I said. I mean, sorry, just taking you back a little bit to the thing about Leicester never having won at the Empty Crates and crates and mate, sort of tell me how or express to me how Claude Puel in the dressing room is going to address his players. He's right there in front of the players. How is he going to convey that message successfully through to the Leicester City players? How is he going to do
it? I'll give you his exact speech.
Come on.
Lads, Mr. Jamie Vardy. Oh, lads, this guy fucking smack him around. I have to get home before they put me tag back on. Come on.
Be quiet, please, for one minute, please. I'm talking.
Okay. What's Jose doing there?
he's pushed Puel to the sides, like, yeah, I'll show you how it's done. You piece of crank. Anyway,
no, that's how right. Claude Puel gets people motivated. He lets Jamie Vardy take the team talk. And my prediction is that each of my lovely England lads is going to score a goal each. It's going to be Vardy with a breakaway. It's going to be Slabhead with a meaty header from a corner. And then Ben Chilwell is going to miss hit across from the halfway line and it's going to fly in. That's my prediction. Do with it what you will.
Fair enough. Mate, I'm going to go for a boring 2-0 win for Arsenal. Sorry.
Oh, God. Ruin my Monday.
We're continuing with the theme of evil. That's how it's going to be done. All right, mate, we've not got much time left, so let's probably wrap it up real quick, and let's move on. Let's have a very quick break, and we'll come straight back, and we'll finish off with Europe, because that's what we need to do. The final countdown is coming shortly.
Move to the light. Go, Roy. Go. To the light. Go. If you can't get the rave on up north, then don't bother anymore. We all know that the Stadium of Lights is the one where Jordan struts his stuff. Thank you for everything.
It's Europe. Oh, we don't. We bloody hell, we can't even do harmonics together. So there you go.
Mate,
do these harmonics.
Yeah, I don't want to do harmonics.
Let's do it myself. Well, she said, you know, let's go for it, mate. I like both of yous. We've been a big fan of harmonics, and she's been a big fan of us. So therefore, we've decided to spoil that entry, but we did it anyway. Europe, here we go again. Mate, let's just go back a little bit, because we already talked about it, but Germany lost, and they're going to be relegated.
Mate, how good was Griezmann's header?
Oh, tasty. Mate,
he could head the ball.
He strained his neck muscles, hasn't he? Now, well, whenever I, is it strained? Is that the expression?
I got quite turned on when I looked at his neck in that goal. Like, it really strains, and you can see. I think he's got more neck muscles than I have. Like, I get that his are more developed than mine, but I think he's got extra ones. Like, oh, mate, it was quite sexual, wasn't it?
Isn't there a song? I think there's a song, isn't there? There's a sexual song.
Antoine Griezmann's sexual neck.
And if there isn't, bloody well should be.
What's God French for neck?
I don't know, actually. Portuguese, it's escoço, which sounds like biscuit.
That's horrible.
Yeah. It's coup. That's right. Sorry. Yeah. Coup.
Le coup de Griezmann.
Le coup de Griezmann. Training the muscles. Fantastic. Griezmann. Train them. Yeah, mate. No, it's fantastic. Fantastic. But Germany went ahead, you know, and you would have thought, you know, what's going on? You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you should really be, sorting it out. Sort it out. Come on, mate, sort it out. But yeah, look, they're in big trouble, aren't they? The old froggy, Frenchy froggies. They're on all sorts of
No, the frogs are fine. It's the Germans who are in trouble.
Sorry, the Germans. Sorry, the Germs. The Germans. Yes. Yeah, they're in big trouble. And we're not even that concerned or worried, are
You're
we?
You're not really? Even really that aware of which country's doing which.
No. Certainly don't seem to care. Not right now. It's one of those big three. It's such an amazing group, isn't it? Really, the A1 group. You know, France, Germany, and the Netherlands. And to think that one of them has to be relegated. Everybody was pointing at the Netherlands. Wow, it's going to be the Germans down to group four. Obviously, it's not confirmed yet. But the way it's not looking very good, is it really for them?
Isn't it lovely?
Yep, very good. And mate, you want to talk a little bit about Georgie Hadji?
I am in my Europe. We really should be covering, I don't know, Barca versus Sevilla, because Sevilla are top of Liga and they're playing Barca. But we won't, because we'll first talk about the fact that Georgie Hadji, one of my favourite all-time players, Georgie Hadji's goal against Colombia for Romania in the 94 World Cup, woof. Oh, yes. Lovely.
Georgie Hadji was... I grew up with Georgie Hadji, you know.
Did you? That's a revelation.
He's a good man.
No idea you grew up in Romania.
we were, you know, good pals.
I knew you was half foreign and everything, but oh, wow.
He is an incredible football player, an absolutely incredible football player. And now... that incredible football player has a son.
He does.
I don't know whether he has any more sons up his sleeve. Of course, he was, he had a bit of lip with him as well, did Georgie, you know, and he was a little bit of a naughty boy. And but, mate, what a beautiful left foot he had, you know. And we're talking a little bit about his son now at the moment, aren't we? We're talking about his son, Eli Hadji.
I think it's Yanis, isn't it?
Is that how it's pronounced?
Because I think in Romanian, an I has a U sound. So I think it's Yanis Hadji.
Yanis Hadji, wow. You gem.
He's 19, and he was playing for the Romania under-21s against the Liechtenstein under-21s. All right, Liechtenstein's under-21s, probably not all that good a team. But
fair enough.
Yep. If you go on the YouTubes and you type in Yanis Hadji, you'll see he scores a quite beautiful free kick. And it doesn't matter how bad the opposition are, because it's a good 25 meters out, and it goes in off the crossbar. And anything that goes in off the crossbar is just beautiful. It's got me dog excited just thinking about spanking one in off the
mate. It was quality, and it was reminiscent of his daddy. And I think if you watch the vid, you'll be able to see that it sort of pans up to his dad and stuff and everything. And mate,
it cuts to his dad so quickly. The cameraman filming that game has been waiting for that for the whole time. He's like, all right, where's Georgie? I want a camera on Georgie and
on his dad.
And cut to daddy. But we haven't even seen him celebrate yet. I don't know if the ball's gone in the net. Don't care. Cut to daddy.
We'll know if he's scored by his dad's reaction. Cut to daddy. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, he's definitely scored. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been up doing that. Come on. Daddy made daddy proud, didn't he? He made daddy
proud. Daddy gives just a little oof. Ooh. So whoever's next to him, it's a lovely moment.
And then sits back down again and lets everyone else celebrate around him like nothing's really happened. Well done, son. Were the words uttered from his lips for sure. It's an interesting one with his son, because he obviously went to Fiorentina. He wasn't able to make it as a kid, and he didn't sort of quite make it. But he's got two. I was going to say he's got two left feet. That's wrong. He's got two beautiful feet, a right foot and a left foot.
It's good that he's got one of each.
It's very true. Yeah. He had two left feet, be in trouble. But he seems to be very, very ambidextrous with that kind of stuff. And he plays very, very well. Another youngster to look out for. I'm sorry, not half the player that De Jong is. So, but anyway, that's my call there on that one. All right, mate. We might as well finish with the Barcelonas versus the Sevilles. I guess the story coming out of Spain is that Real Madrid have protested against Barcelona going out in the latest of this ever long lasting story that keeps going on about one of the Spanish league matches to be played overseas. Real Madrid have now come out in protest.
Mate, if Barcelona got 100 million in cash and left it at Real Madrid's front door, Real Madrid would protest about them delivering them $100 million. Like, they just object to everything.
It's so true. It is so true. It is, isn't it? And they would obviously do this, but it could put a spanner in the works of this. I mean, I just can't see how it's going to end up nicely, this whole thing, but who knows? Maybe it's something that will sort of come out. Obviously, Seville, a great team, but not a very good stadium, because we went over there and smashed them in it.
No, lads, we smashed you.
Barca take on Seville. You would imagine Barcelona would need to, or would be looking at trying to win this game on the weekend. It's probably the highlight, really, isn't it? I can't really sort of see that many other sort of big matches up there.
But it's a tasty first versus second match. I think actually the game is at the Camp Nou, which is not yet New Camp Nou. It's just Camp Nou, or whatever Catalan for old is. It's old Camp Nou. And I believe that... Oh, I fancy Sevilla to go and get a result, you know.
Ooh.
I fancy like a 2-2.
Mm,
oh, no, yeah. Mate, you know what? I'll have a 3-3.
All right, then. Blimey hell, you just go to town, mate.
Goal fest everywhere.
Well, it's the late kickoff on the Saturday night, and I think it's... funny enough, Real Madrid as well, they are playing at 12 o'clock, the very unusual 12 o'clock. And I wonder whether or not this has something to do with over the last few weeks or not, that there's been, you know, grown men and women fainting in the crowds because the temperature has been so hot. And so people have thought, you know, this is ridiculous for you know, the Spanish football players to be playing in this kind of heat. It's not safe. It's not good. You know, and they're starting to stretch the matches across there. So who knows? Real Madrid have got Levante, which means to levitate, doesn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, certainly, I think it's a verb, levante. Oh, it's very close to levante, which means it's like an order, like you're ordering someone to get up. Get up!
Oi, levitate.
Real Madrid are going to take on the team of levitationisms on the Saturday. So that'll be the probably the second sort of one to kind of look out for, because it is a potential banana skin, I guess, in some ways. But there is another match which is very interesting on the Sunday, mate. It's the Milan derby.
Ah, le derby di Milano.
Inter Milano, they eat some pizza. There's an Inter Milano against AC Milano in the stadium that's exactly the same stadium for both of the teams. So,
which one is at home or which one is away?
Inter Milan is at home, AC Milan is away this time. So, should be good. So, that's another one to look out for. That's on Sunday evening at 7.
Mate, how's this for a little pot? I reckon every goal in the Milanese derby will be scored by an Argentine.
All right.
Basically, okay. I think it's going to be 1-1, and I think Icardi and Higuain will get one.
Icardi and Higuain. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's not too far off, is it? Really?
Sounded smart though when I said it.
You did. Yeah. Look at you. Bloody hell. And mate, one more little honourable sort of mention as well. The Australian A League kicks off this weekend.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt will go up against the Brisbane Roar FC. Roar! So that'll be fun. Whether or not he'll actually play or not, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he will, but it'll certainly be on the telly, I should imagine. So yeah. At least it will be for us down here under. So that'll be fun and games all round.
I hope it happens.
Yeah, I hope it happens as well. Speedy Gonzalez, let's go for it, mate. It's been great to do this with you,
and with you, mate. Despite your continued wishing of evil,
quest for evilness all around the world. Maybe that'll be a bit of a feature for me in the future. I'll just look at how much evil I can spread around. So that'll be fun. Good stuff. All right. I think that pretty much concludes it for this weekend. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful match, I think, at Stamford Bridge. I'm going to be gripped to my seat on that one. Let's hope that we see something of a slaying. That would be nice, because we saw a slaying in midweek. So how about another slay? If you were to want to see someone slay someone else in that match, who would it be?
I would like to see the death of
Jose Mourinho.
No, too much consistent entertainment through the years. Okay. And more to come. Who would I like to see die? Fabregas.
Okay, he's on the bench, so
he can come off the bench and die.
Okay.
Or you could just slide into the bench.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. That's how you would do Mourinho, because you would slide. It would be two guys sliding in for a tackle. It just so happened they were going straight forward. Mourinho was right there, and then bang, slain. All right, okay. Well, let's hope that you get your wish. Fabregas dies, and that's exactly what you just said, mate. Your words, not mine.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
All right. Let's hope that Vardy, Slabbert and Ben Chilwell get their goals as well. And
come on, Slabbert.
Let's hope for a Mutu goal for Newcastle United as well.
Oh, look at you being all cheerful now.
I know. Thank you, everyone, for listening. From me, Jason, from him, Dave. We will see you next week.
Goodbye. Thank you.
podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.